Tickets, please have your tickets ready.
Children under five must wear safety masks.
And the children first.
Seasickness makes me so nauseous.
Welcome back to the Dreamboat Podcast. We're here to take the succession of images, ideas, emotions, and sensations that occur involuntarily in the mind during certain stages of sleep and dissect them for you.
We're here to analyze your dreams.
There we go. Thank you. That's what I meant to say.
So we're your two captains here. Well, you're about to give us the all aboard?
No, I was about to all aboard.
All aboard.
Let me put a foghorn in there. I know we got one in the intro, but God, we need that just on a soundboard, ready to go.
Yeah, I should hook that up to my MIDI keyboard. Just have a button.
Beep, 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 beep.
Cheer, 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 cheer.
So yeah, dreams, dude. How crazy are they?
They're pretty great. And no fear, Shakespeare. We're here to talk about your dreams. I'm your co-captain, Connor. And with me, as always, is...
the other co-captain, Scott.
And we're the dudes that are going to tell you about the Froods. Except we're not.
We've got some good ones. We have two recurring ones today, which I'm pretty on the docket. Pretty psyched about that.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit, very briefly here, about recurring dreams, just because I pulled up the wiki here. But apparently a lot of them have to do with teeth falling out, which is, you know, yeah, I've had that one. Being unable to find a toilet, having the ability to fly. There's always some sort of peculiar common theme with them. Held back in school or failing a test, unable to speak. A lot of these, pretty typical. But the ones that we have are the sort of recurring dream that's the story kind. The cool kind.
Yeah.
That are not losing teeth.
That this is little general motifs or little one sentence spoolies.
It's not a one-off. It's not a spoolie.
I do want to say real quick, though, I've been getting some pretty strange emails from the guys over at the Froode Dude podcast. The Froode Dudes. If you know about the Froode Dudes.
I love the Froode Dudes.
These guys are all about Sigmund Freud's dream analysis and, like, everything's penis and you want to have sex with your mom. And it's like, they're sending me these really weird emails. So lay off it, Froode Dudes.
Yeah, Froode Dudes.
Let's squash the beef, okay? Where's the beef? Squashed. It's over.
It's a flat patty of beef right there.
That's it. So I just squashed the beef, okay, Froode Dudes? The beef, it's been squashed. Let's move on.
No more beef. No more beef. Let's take that joke out to pasture.
Let's move on.
Hey. All right, well, we already did that with the horses.
Hey, well.
That's recycling there. Yeah. That's some pink slime. All right. So first thing, we do have a couple submissions. Thank you, everybody, for supplying us with your dreams. It's a very personal thing to do. I understand that. It takes a lot of bravery to entrust us with them. But, I mean, shoot. I don't know about you, Connor. I wouldn't mind if someone even tried making it up. I think we're good enough at this point where we could call probably a BS dream.
It's possible, but don't do that because there's no need to.
Don't send us your filler.
Your dream movies are fine just the way they are. The more you know. Now, people are sending us their dreams in different ways. They're still harassing Scott in person, which is, I think, a great way
fine.
To do it. I used
which
to enjoy fine. Doing that a lot when I was still in the same state.
I do want to say, though, it is always better to go through our professional accounts because we need the traction. We're both, how do I say this, idiots at Twitter? Like, neither of us have tweetled
before.
We're
social media dunces. That's another thing.
Yes. So help us out. Get that thing going. Feel free to hashtaggle us or you know, snaggle us.
Yeah.
Retweet, yeah.
But you know what we're really good at is Gmail. So you can send your dreams to dreamboatpodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Let us know if there's anything specific. How you want this dream handled, whether it's anonymity, whether you want to have like a super cool pen pal name. We can give you our own if you want honorific title.
Yeah, if you don't want anonymity, you better tell us because right now our default is to grant it just out of I don't know, cordiality here. If you're sending us your dreams, we don't want to give you out. We don't want to out you.
Yeah, I haven't, if you haven't been quite as good at responding to people's emails just because my life's been a little cuckoo. And I've been editing a lot of these podcasts like while I've been on set for TV stuff and like not able to use Wi-Fi and stuff.
Hollywood over here. Anywho. Hey, how about we do that thing we do?
Hey, that sounds good. Let's do that voodoo that we do, not like doo-doo. I've said that before. Now, this one was sent in to us on our Gmail, and it goes a little something like this. It is a long Scandinavian winter. Ooh. I'm stuck in a long dinner. As I sit there, my feet are starting to touch the floor, and I realize that there are plates under the table. I went outside for air, pulling a screen door open, breathing in the snow. Then, I was walking in the streets. My dreams are like movies. I just kind of jump through time and teleport. So now I was walking downtown. I ran into my cousin, who brought me to a wrestling match. The room was filled with yellow mattresses and 12-year-olds. And then I lost him. Walked over to a light blue tower. The brick was really dusty, and the walls were crumbling. It was some sort of ritual thing? Like I was watching a cult sacrifice thing. Row of people just walking in circles. I followed them and went up the stairs of this brick tower, trying not to slide down because it was on a hill. Also, it's kind of a reoccurring thing when I'm sliding down, trying to get myself back up. So, there you go. That was the end of my dream.
I loved the way you sold that. Holy cow. So, any dream where a room is filled with mattresses and 12-year-olds is going to be my favorite, regardless.
Yeah, that's a heck of a hell of an image there.
Yellow mattresses and 12-year-olds. What the heck? Okay, so let's try and get a piece of this. So it's a cold Scandinavian winter. DeBoard have anything about winter?
Yeah, in his analysis. James DeBoard.
Let's get a rat owl.
He is the rat owl. He is the dreams Reddit man. Thank you, JM. It's actually one of the better dream dictionaries I've ever come across. So this has been super cool to look through. Winter time. Let's talk about winter time. JM says a wintry setting in a dream can symbolize something in decline. Perhaps health or fortune. It could also symbolize feeling of dreariness or a time of hibernation. You might be conserving your resources. But then again, a lot of people think about winter time, think about St. Nicholas, Christmas time, that sort of thing.
Wow. Sorry, this is a complete aside here, but I was looking up winter in Ibn Sirin, and there is no winter. But where it should be, I see winning the presidency, and I go, oh, weird. And then it says, see bees. This book don't make no sense.
I love that book.
So the winter is just exactly what I anticipated it would be, which is sort of like a bundling up sort of conservative.
And well, and fearing the fear of exposure.
Which makes the rest of it even more interesting because she sort of unveils a cult meeting, right?
Right. Now there's this long dinner. What's this long dinner all about? You ever been stuck in a long dinner?
Yeah, what's up with the plates under the... I want to hit that. Let's hit that really quick. There's plates under the table.
Okay.
Plates. So yeah, look up plates real quick. And also, what this sort of like reversal... What would like a dinner represent? And then think of what a bizarro dinner would... Like, what's the opposite of that?
I don't have plates. Let me see if there's anything in dinner about them.
I'm going to do a good old-fashioned Google for this.
Yeah,
one.
Give me that. What does it mean when you dream about plates? I mean, we talked a little bit about breaking ceramics and pottery and whatnot. what's another
sorry,
word
I'm
for
hacking.
Plates and bowls?
Ceramics? I don't...
Ceramics?
God, good old dream moods.
Yeah, what do they
where
have?
Where blue means you're
really
sad.
I really want
to see
know.
Dishes in your dreams.
Where... Welcome to Dream Moods, where blue means you're sad.
Dishes, to see dishes in your dreams, represents ideas, concepts, and attitudes. Oh my God, Dream Moods. Maybe a pun on the things you're dishing out to others. Can you not, please?
They're super punny over there.
God. So if the dishes are dirty and unwashed, they signify dissatisfaction. It's not that. To see broken dishes, no.
But there's plates under the table.
Yeah, okay, so to see a plate in your dream symbolizes your hunger for life. Are you kidding? So you are showing potential and promise for the future. Oh, okay, so this one maybe. Okay, here we go. And this is a stretch.
Yeah, help me out, like, I'm pretty lost at this point. I'm thinking of, well, like, wait. Plates belong sur la table, and now they're yes. something else la table, right?
Well, wait. Normally, you know, there's the old expression, you know, you got too much on your plate. Here, not only do you got too much on your plate, you got too many plates there under the table. you got so much on your plate, you can't even see it.
Right, so...
No. I'm being serious here.
No. And I am too, because you talk about... you can say I have a bunch of plates spinning right now. I'm spinning a bunch of plates. Like, I'm literally mm-hmm. juggling all these things. Life's dishing it out. Thank you, Dream Meats.
Yeah, dished. And they're under the table, which I'm going to interpret here as sort of like what we did for the underwater thing. It's the unseen undercurrents, you know? So here you've got a whole setting. You got a whole table setting under the table.
A long dinner.
Perhaps, and this goes back to the winter meaning the undiscovered, but that sort of appears to be a trend, at least at the beginning of this dream, is that there's these, you're sort of getting clues as to these undercurrents that are happening around you, either in your life or just in this dream narrative that's unraveling here.
Or you're in this period of hibernation and of self-reflection, and there's just a lot going on. You got a lot you're juggling with internally, or a lot of things you're thinking about. Maybe a lot of things are shifting at this point in your life, whether that be with, you know, job or personal life or what have you, family.
Hey, Dream Moods has something else here. And looking at the dream submission now, it doesn't say that the plates have anything on them.
That's correct.
Like, they're just plates, right? So if there's empty plates in your dream, it indicates there's an emotional void in your waking life, or that you may be left out.
Interesting.
Or that you need to, you know, like, what, like, rethink your priorities or something.
I think it's not too far of a stretch to talk about winter and to talk about the cold. And if you're feeling cold, you're feeling isolated, or you're feeling cut off from people. Like, it could be an emotional winter.
Oh, it's a Scandinavian winter, dude. That's as emotional or unemotional. I actually don't know what the stereotype is.
I mean, a long Scandinavian winter is just that winter happens for a long time.
And it's very dark all the time. And
yeah, I know, right? Some people, like some Finnish folk, and I mean, it's just part of life. You know, winter, you know, you have it, you got to do it. It's more than half the year, so it seems, you know.
Period for repose and introspection. Okay, so the next part.
Darkness.
Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha. Okay, so the next part is going outside for air and breathing into the snow.
Breathing in the streets. The snow.
I'm interpreting that as just a big foggy cold breath, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Just okay. Very, very good, very good setting going
so
on here.
So now I guess this is where we take a bit of license. She realizes there's plates under the table, and like, she just needs a break from this dinner. Like, I need some fresh air. I don't care if it's a long Scandinavia winter. I need some fresh air. So goes outside, opens the screen door, right? Takes a big breath, and then all of a sudden you're walking downtown with your cuz.
That teleport thing has happened to me before.
It's happened
as
to
well.
Me too. Where I could, and now
is this
I'm
the first time
here.
We've talked about it? But it's like totally normal.
I think
like,
so. I'm sure it's come up in my dreams because it happens to me
it's
a
just,
lot.
Just suddenly elsewhere because why not? And then yeah, your dream just keeps going. We did talk about that briefly with Dr. Emer when it talks about the parts of your brain that deal with logic are kind of barely flaring up. And so the logic
can't remember
part,
if that was the Dr. Emer we like or the Dr. Emer we don't like.
God, yeah, that other guy is such a pill. But God bless the good doctor.
So are we talking about the same doctor?
I don't know. I'm never sure.
We got to figure out what their first names are. But
so
yeah, I don't see anything in here about teleportation, but I'm sure there's like a changing settings or something.
Yeah, we can get into that, but I do want to kind of pursue the next part here because it's the downtown walk where they run into their cousin who brings them to a wrestling match, which is what you do with your cousins. You just go watch wrestling.
Yeah, you're all about the WWE.
I love that the room is filled with yellow mattresses and 12-year-olds, because who else would watch wrestling but yellow mattresses and 12-year-olds?
Well, what I was wondering, if the room was filled, or
they were sitting on yellow mattresses?
Or the arena, it's like the actual wrestling ring.
It leaves for some really like safe wrestling. I mean, you're slamming people into nice yellow pads.
But I'm thinking it makes more sense, having been a 12-year-old who liked wrestling, that you're probably watch 12-year-olds watching wrestling.
So that's just a normal thing to do with your 12-year-old cousin. But I'm reading here on Dream Moods, that great authority on dreams, that to see a mattress in your dream represents your support system. Like lumbar support?
Ooh.
Boy, you really had to dig deep for that one, huh, Dream Moods?
What's your sleep number? Yellow can be associated, as a JM joint here, with emotions such as joy or happiness, optimism, alertness.
Okay, cool. So you're getting out of the cold winter, out of the cold dinner, you need some air, and now you're kind of just having a nice time.
But on the flip side, yellow can also be connected to finding your way out of a difficult situation and acting impulsively.
Yeah, but those aren't really flip side to like joy and happiness. Those are just sort of like, a narrative.
It's a different idea. Or like, yeah. You yellow belly coward.
Ooh.
Which is interesting. Interesting because yellow meaning, it can either mean like willpower or lack of willpower. It can either mean like this joy and this happiness, and you're filled with like this energy and this power, or it can mean you have no courage and you're yellow. I think maybe we're thinking in a little too hard about what yellow might mean.
Yeah, I don't think it's the yellow that's important. It's the context of going to a fun, goofy sporting event with your cousin and a bunch of 12-year-olds. So I'm interpreting this as probably like the good vibes of the dream before it turns into a cult thing.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, because there's different kinds of wrestling federations, if you will. There's like the big time, you got your WWE, and then you've got like your backyard wrestling, you know?
Yeah, like your World Wildlife Fund. Those guys know how to wrestle.
Yeah, RIP.
I'm going to kind of cut ahead to... So they're at this wrestling match.
Yes.
With all the 12-year-olds and the cousin. And then... they go to a blue tower, a sort of decaying blue tower, correct?
Yeah.
Let me find this really quick. And it's like an old, dusty, crumbly tower, and there's a ritual going on, watching a cult sacrifice where they're all sort of walking in concentric circles. I'm looking here at what cults mean, and it's not good. And I wanted to see what Ibn Sirin, if he even has cult in there. But to dream that you're in a cult suggests you're in a destructive or manipulative relationship, or that you're being exploited. But there is a positive side also. It's that you have the desire for a better self, so like dedication to self-improvement. I think just the cult as a concept in the dream, or as a symbol that you want to really just dilute, would mean being really hidebound or dedicated to something.
Yeah,
like despite all odds,
devoted to it,
and that can be good and that can be negative.
No,
and if they're sacrificing someone, I'm guessing it's a negative context in this instance.
I would think so. Yeah, something you're devoted to that you know has consequences. I mean, again, that's a relative judgment of morality,
right? And it is also suggesting that it's a destructive or manipulative relationship. Which I don't think it's the cousin's not really here at this point. Maybe they are, but it doesn't seem apparent from the description we got.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, where does it go?
Now, I've blue, right? Blue, out of these ones, the things that are jumping out to me in this JM joint, is there are associations with insight and also could symbolize one's mind, right? So,
So blue tower. Oh, wait. It could symbolize the mind?
Mm-hmm. One's mind, so insight, also expression. When I know,
and it's like
I
an uphill
yoga,
battle.
But it's also written here that the throat chakra is the blue chakra that has to do with expression and these things.
Wow. And it's like an uphill slippery battle to get at your expression. Maybe it's a little too new agey, but I like.
Well, yeah,
that. Uphill... I think the tower isn't a tower in this case.
Mm-mm. No, sometimes a tower is just a tower. In this case, I don't think so.
I don't know if a tower is ever just a tower in a dream. Mm. That's too easy of a symbol to get away with. Let me see if Ibn Sirin has something to say about towers.
Yeah, I didn't find anything in this jam.
Yeah, nothing on colts.
But everything on donkeys.
Got so many fish, too. Give me more fish in any context I will give you.
You can give
fish.
Us a donkey fish dream. Woof.
Holy crap. Driving a car, that would be awesome.
I think that's interesting. Climbing up a slippery blue tower.
Hey, I've got tower here.
Lay it on me.
Being inside a tower in a dream means that you should not feel safe from the blows of your enemy or expect to be secure and safe in your own environment when someone calls on you for something. What? Standing on top of a tower in a dream means that you will conquer or capture a dangerous person. Wow. Okay. Well, shouldn't feel safe from your... So don't underestimate your enemy. Ooh. And there's a cult going on that it's probably very serious. Your movie, your brain movie here is telling you that there's like a serious issue. No, I lost it. I was about to piece something there. I totally lost it. What? So there's a serious issue. And it's going to be a very adversarial road up there.
Okay, so there's a serious issue. It's the tower, right? No. But it's representing your insight or your intuition, and you're somehow unable to get to it because it's so damn slippery. So there's something that's like super bothering you, and it's either that you just can't get to the bottom of what it is, or it's that you just can't bring yourself to share what it is to somebody else. In order
and it's
to
recurring.
Get to fixing it. So it's maybe been happening for a while, and it's something like that.
That's a toughie. And then you've got all that stuff on your plate under the table. And a lot, maybe whatever that dinner was about is somehow related here. Probably not, actually, if you just left. I'm just fetching now. Fetching for random dream symbols. This is really interesting, though. I like the whole tower... cult sacrifice, slippery uphill analysis that we did, because that does seem like it's sort of a, especially if it's a recurring issue trying to get up to the top. This is like a difficult concept for
yeah. This
for
is I mean this
you
is this
waking
is,
brain
is a,
to wrangle.
This is a beefy dream here. I think we should do our best to try to wrap it up here at a bow. So you want to take a stab?
Sure. So it's the Scandinavian winter. I would interpret that as being sort of you've been in a state of repose. You've been resting. You haven't been perhaps. Challenged too hard, right? But everything that you should have been facing is piling up. In fact, it's stacking under the table. There's so much that you haven't been able to. So the first instinct is to get away from it, right? Seek the company of those you like, your cousin, do something mindless and fun, go see wrestling with the mattresses. But then the blue tower that you get forced, it looks like, up into just means that you're going to be forced into a situation where you have to confront it like an adult, and it's not going to be easy. And there's going to be weird adult shit along the way, but...
it's no longer a 12-year-old wrestling match anymore.
Looks like you're persistent, and if you can take a Scandinavian winter, you can take a slippery ramp. I don't have any doubt.
Yeah, I think that was... This has got some... Really well said, and I think I'll just add on there that little bit about that blue tower probably having something to do with some sort of insight or expression. Like, you're not able to... express yourself, be it with your words or if you're like a creative type. I know for me, I think a lot about, and this is funny with the chakra stuff, like literally having to take extra time to, this is going to sound weird, but like stretch out my throat. Like if I'm doing a big back bend in the yoga, then like, you know.
Well, yeah, you got ligaments and things in there.
Especially when I'm trying to do like a music thing or working on... some sort of, there's Scott's
oh, yeah,
doing
it.
Scott's doing
it
right now.
I can feel it.
Yeah, I can see your Adam's good. Apple, my dude. And yeah, maybe something has been bothering you there for a while. Can't quite express yourself the way you'd want to. That slippery tower.
Well, thank you for that submission, mystery person. We appreciate it. That was a fun one.
That was a really good one. Perhaps your muse is waiting for you at the top.
Mm-hmm.
May you find them soon.
Do you want to do another submission, Connor?
Yeah. How about, do you want to read one? I think we got another one in
the
old Gmail.
Sure. All right, I got one here from another anonymous submitter. Thank you very much, anonymous submitter. I am at a music concert outdoors in the mountains. Snow everywhere. The concert stops, and I realize that I don't have skis, but I can slide easily without. But as I do realize that, I see that I'm actually skiing uphill with just my shoes. And as I'm skiing uphill, I see a row of coyotes or wolves, four or five of them. Only I can't see their eyes or their faces because they have these silly hats on with the flaps, like Fargo style. But they watch people go by very quietly. A very pleasant dream, I have to say.
Interesting. So there's a there's a concert. Wow. You got a concert, and then all
got a concert.
And there's snow, very snowy.
And you can ski uphill.
Yeah, and it's like, what? Everything's coming up roses.
In your shoes. It's like Heelys for uphill skiing. It's awesome.
It's like an invisible escalator, but it's like way cooler than that.
I'm totally imagining those hats too, like the big, you know, almost like the Russian Federation, not Russian Federation, what am I saying? Soviet Union, there we go, style, like, you know, the one I'm talking about, the big furry one.
The hats,
flaps.
No, so yeah. I was thinking like four or five Holden Caulfield.
Oh,
you know, hunter caps.
Yeah. Okay.
Or like a Canadian took. Is that what
there
those hats
go.
Are called? A took.
I don't know. A fool of a took. I'm not sure.
Of a took. No, it's not quite a took. Took is just basically like a beanie. But
yeah,
I'm thinking of like a good old fashioned.
I'll save this for our other podcast, Hat Talk, where we talk about hats.
Yeah.
Because I do want to...
Google Holden Caulfield hat. That's what I was going for. And
I know. I have that hat, dude. I've got one just like it.
All right. Good. As long as you're not a phony.
Oh, dude. Everyone's so crummy. Just crummy this, crummy that.
Don't be such a crumb bum. But that's interesting. Four or five coyotes with Holden Caulfield hats.
And they're just chilling. They're just watching. That's pretty cool. And can't see their eyes. Can't see their eyes or faces. See, normally I would interpret that as something very different, but the fact that they're wearing silly hats kind of negates it. Because I read somewhere that it's common practice among law enforcement agencies to wear a uniform or a hat that obscures the eyebrows, because eyebrows are seen as very expressive. And so you're seen as being more authoritative.
Interesting.
When that you know, expression is hidden or obscured. So in this, I'm seeing something that's usually a dangerous animal, right? Something that would give you pause if you saw it in real life on a mountain. But they're wearing silly hats. So it's not so much that they are exuding more authority here. It's the opposite. They're just being chill.
Well, also
dogs with hats.
Think that this is a little bit of the JM joint here, talking about the idea of hats and thinking. Something covering your head. And not only, and you can't see what these coyotes' faces look like, you can't tell what they're thinking. Like they're being
very, I'd agree with that.
Very those mysterious, silly hatted coyotes.
I want to see what coyotes represent. Tell me, Drew Moods, what do you got for me? Oh, Ibn Sirin's probably got coyotes.
He might.
Coyotes represent deception and weakness. What about coyotes and silly hats? Oh, there's no results.
Oh, man.
Weird.
I would have thought that would be one people have all the time.
Yeah. Skiing. Okay. Do you want to freestyle what skiing might mean? Especially like an uphill skiing with the wrong equipment, but still doing it easily?
I mean, being a desert boy, skiing to me means the probability of big injury. So like I generally don't associate skiing with much of anything other
hey,
than that's something
off.
I don't do.
It says that dreaming of skiing suggests that you're pushing yourself and putting your mental or physical abilities to the test. So yeah, there is that risk, but it looks like that's what's happening.
So this person is putting their skills to the test and just excelling.
They are just destroying, just uphill, no effort, in the shoes, too.
Yeah, not even trying.
Just zipping
flying.
Up that mountain in your clogs.
That's interesting. So they are just doing it right. And
everybody will be dancing when we're doing it right. Oh, God.
We've reverted to talk singing instead of just regular
singing. Just normal singing. I'm going to try and see if Ibn Sirin's got anything on coyotes real quick, and then we can try and tie this one up in a bow.
Watch people go by very quietly. It's interesting. Because a coyote, or it says maybe wolf, right?
Yeah, coyotes are chill, though. I used to have a half coyote, half dog at our house here.
And they're much smaller than wolves as well.
They are, and they're seen as like tricksters typically, but it's weird seeing them in a very chill spectator context. So I got nothing else on coyotes. At a music concert outdoors, though, maybe the setting here we can tackle real quick before we tie it up. Outdoor mountain music concert. That's cool.
Sorry, you're seeing a coyote in your dreams. It means that you are very protective towards your family members.
Hmm.
Coyote is believed to be the harbinger of life and the symbol of new birth. Another thing, I want to talk about numbers, because I think numbers do matter. And specifically, the number 4. And this goes back to my experience with like that shamanic class back in college. But specifically, the number 4 in Native American dreams and dream onerology, if you will. The number 4 being tied to the cardinal directions.
Oh, cool. Yeah, it's a very primeval kind of old school number there.
Yeah.
It probably has some significance. So like guidance, perhaps. Is what that would be representative.
And not only the number 4 with the cardinal directions, but sometimes also the number 6, including up and down in your cardinal chakras. Directions.
Well, there's 7 chakras,
though. Right, but like north, south, east, west, up and down.
Oh, okay. I see you. I'm looking at concerts here. Man, this is just beginning to paint itself as just a really solid dream that you're really great and cool and confident, and you should challenge yourself to do more things out of your comfort zone, because all of these are like...
Well, I mean, it said it was a very pleasant dream, this person.
Very pleasant, yeah. So being at a concert already represents harmony and cooperation in situations in your waking life. Mm. So it's just kind of a...
Yeah, so you've reached this synergy, this great harmony, where the things that you're really good at, to the point where you can do them uphill against gravity without equipment, quite literally. I think the interesting part about this is the Holden Caulfield coyotes there. What are these dudes that watch people quietly go by? That's the interesting part to me.
Do you know what I just realized? There's totally going to be an Ibn Sirin chapter under hats that says, see coyotes wearing hats. So I'm just going to look up hats real quick.
Probably is. I would not doubt. By the way, Scott does actually have a book, for all you people that are like, there's no way Scott has this crazy book. This is just Scott.
Right. So this is the Ibn Sirin's Dictionary of Dreams According to Islamic Inner Traditions, and it's by Muhammad al-Akili. And I really recommend it because it's huge. It's got a lot of variety here. And Connor and I have always endorsed the idea of getting cross-cultural perspectives on dream interpretation, because a lot of these symbols that we take for granted, I mean, we are culturally American, so these aren't always going to apply to us, but it's always fun to see the other side.
Absolutely.
And you find some weird connections sometimes.
So tell me what he means about hats there. What does Ibn Sirin have to say?
So, hat, see helmet. Well, thanks, dude. Helmet, in a dream, a helmet means safety, money, a wife, employment, travel, or just your head.
Interesting. He talked about coyotes meaning being protective of the family. So these super safe coyotes, keeping warm so they don't catch cold there on that frosty mountain.
They're doing good. Yeah, no, it's wow. So to tie the coyote into the whole hat thing. See, Dream Moods is saying it's all about hidden messages, right? Like you're obscuring an aspect of yourself, which I actually kind of I can see that, because it obscured their faces.
Mm-hmm.
The submitter even mentioned that their eyes were hidden, couldn't see their motives, couldn't see their intentions, but didn't matter.
So right? in the face of all this excelling, what does that mean?
Here's what I would say. If I had to tie this up, I would say your dream is telling you, hey, you're really good at pretty much everything you try. You should try more stuff. Like you'd probably be really good at it. And the coyotes in the hats lurking on the edge probably mean that you recognize that there is a danger, but to you it's kind of silly and fun and far away, and maybe the challenge is totally worth it. Like, you can see how challenging it's going to be, and it's as challenging as coyotes in hats.
Or that you recognize that there will be a danger, but perhaps these coyotes are an aspect of yourself that you know that you're going to be watching out for your family.
Right, or like the danger's there, but it's not necessarily out to get you. You got to look at it.
And maybe the number 4 or 5 has something to do with the number of family members. I don't know.
Huh.
That's a possibility. Oh, yeah. But that you know that they will be safe. Maybe if you try to, do some different stuff, maybe. I would recommend that to anybody. The last thing you want to be doing is feeding yourself avocados and thinking that you're bettering yourself when you may not be. But it sounds like when you put your mind to some things, you tend to be flying up a mountain without skis.
Yeah, that's a good one. Hey, do we have maybe a Reddit dream that we could try?
We got one we can unpack. So it's okay. A bit of a doozy here, but
sure.
Let's get on it. This one is submitted. It's a few days ago, maybe a little longer after by the time this actually airs.
But by what's the username?
The username is throwaway999111666.
Tight. That's my great 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 grandfather's name.
And
go on.
The title is Reoccurring Dream About a Video Game That Feels Like Real Life and Makes No Sense. Capitalized no sense. Here we go. I had this vivid reoccurring dream for a couple years now, where in the dream I'm experiencing a game, which today I learned is called The Hounds, which it doesn't really exist in real life. And in this game, you cannot tell you're playing a game, and it's really more of a simulation. In this simulation, things that are not normal are normal. For example, I recall twice in the past 2 times animals walking and talking. Every time I have this dream, it's very, very vivid, and I'll try to note all these details they can remember while they're still waking up. The beginning, I'm in a store, and some friends are there, and I know them by their faces and their voices, and I go to change clothes, and then there are even more coins I have to purchase outfits with. So it's like, I guess there's, all of a sudden they have more money.
It's like a Peter Piper situation for currency, all right.
One of my friends drives me up a mountain to a house where there are talking deer in the backyard. Afterwards, all I remember is testing the AI by asking it somewhat unique, silly questions and being surprised that they had seemingly human, normal responses. It was slightly worrying during the dream because I kept trying to break the game and reveal it to be a game, but it had an answer for everything I did. Hmm. And this is the crazy part. So me and my friend are walking back up a mountain. I notice in the distance there are buildings and the world are just falling like a tsunami towards us. Again, for whatever reason, I can't quit the game, as there's no menu or anything. I try to quit the game to avoid the fear and the buildings and the water falling, and as soon as I do, I see a title screen with The Hounds written somewhat nonsensically, and then I wake up. This dream has been occurring for a long time, and it's always borderline nightmarish. I know it makes little to no sense, but if you see any underlying theme or message, please let me know. Wow.
Okay. Ooh, that is a doozy. The Hounds.
Now, right off the bat here,
There's
one big thing that sticks out to me.
What's that?
And that is the trying to make sense of it all as a simulation.
See, what stuck out to me immediately was that they had the same reaction I would have, which is, I'm going to try and break this, mother. I'm going to try and crack this one open and ask weird...
And if you do, then maybe you could turn this into a lucid dream, right?
Oh.
That's another thing that kind of jumped out at me. Is maybe the next time you have this dream, if you're somehow able to remind yourself that, oh, wait, no, this is just the hounds again, then you would, be able to do whatever the hell you want. But I know it was always for me, like, I always just kind of end up accepting things as happening in dreams, like talking deer and whatever.
Anytime I have, you're right, me too. But there's an exception to that, and that's when I feel trapped, right? I'm stuck somewhere. I hate those dreams. That's a very fight or flight reaction. And so this person feeling stuck in a simulation, like they don't even have a red pill, blue pill situation to get the hell. I don't like using that expression anymore, but they don't have like an out to this video game.
Mm-hmm.
that's where the fear, probably the nightmare, steps in. But I do want to try and tackle a couple of these symbols. Which ones are jumping out at you?
Animals, right, seems to be a big one. Specifically deer, right?
So, and then they're walking up a mountain also. Oh, hey, I'm looking at this question here. There's other people that have tried to tackle the interpretation here. They say the mountain might be a symbol for spiritual advancement. And talking animals in some mythologies can be seen as spiritual guides.
Yeah, that definitely grokks with what I've learned and kind of where I was going with the trying to make sense of it as a simulation, to where people in other cultures, most especially, again, wouldn't even call it an expertise, but in my experience in talking a lot about Native American and South American cultures, the indigenous peoples there, you talk to animals and you talk to plants like you would talk to a person. And right, sometimes those animals might turn into people when you talk to them. Sometimes you just like talk to a deer. Or I've had these experiences in these dreams, especially while taking this class and really focusing on thinking about these things this way, of having conversations with animals.
I know for a fact that in Australian Aboriginal culture, even landmarks and mountains are personified,
right,
quite often.
And in like the shamanic lineage, plants and herbs and things do speak to you, and you learn from them how they are used and for what purposes.
Okay. So deer, then. So in this case, as far as we know, the spirit animal is the deer.
This JM joint from DeBoard says that there's quite a few options here. Deer can symbolize easy prey, or can also symbolize something that is elusive. It's that's a problem. You can't quite pin it down.
Well, I got Ibn Sirin's take on it, but I don't want to read it because he's got these really hot takes that don't make any fucking sense.
If it's a deer eating blueberries, then...
If it's a deer doing your taxes. Yeah, there's a lot of weird ones. Bringing a deer inside your house.
But being like, so there's also this part about going to change clothes and buying clothes, and that's about how you would want to be perceived,
with coins,
right?
We've talked about tokens, though.
Well, I mean, it's coins. I don't know. Sacagawea coins. I don't know. But as far as clothes being the way that you want to be seen by the world, the way you dress yourself to be visually consumed by the world, if you will.
Yeah, and if you're in a simulation, I guess that you're right, we can ignore the money bit, but I did look up Ibn Sirin's take on deer, and he basically just says they represent women or children. So there's maybe, if it's children, there's maybe this sort of like naive innocence, right? Because they're in a simulation and they don't know. And if it's women, it's just him in a talking deer simulator.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, and then we get to the part where it's like Ragnarok, and... Mm-hmm. There's this, like, the whole... I imagine kind of like in those earthquake movies where the ground, like, ripples. But instead, like, the whole world is just, like, this giant tsunami earth.
It's folding on itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which sounds pretty terrifying. And
that
again,
does sound scary.
That's the kind of, like, turmoil, out-of-control vibes. And again, the not being able... Understanding this reality as a simulation and as a game... But not being able to take advantage of the things that a simulation and a game have to offer, like saving.
Second lives.
You know, quit screens, whatever. When you're playing Resident Evil.
I'm going to try freestyle on this one.
Freestyle. And
bail me out if you can, because I have a feeling I'm going to do what I usually do, which is lose it halfway through.
Yeah, well, I think we should... We should try to freestyle, and then we'll have to wrap this one up.
Yeah. So the simulation, you're in a world where normal is now unnormal.
In a world.
You do a good job.
Unnormal is normal.
It seems like you do a good job. You're just sort of having nice conversations with the local fauna, and you're kind of pushing the limits, and they're being polite with you, and they're you can't get out. And
a that's man probably where the fear makes friends with local deer. Continue.
Then you go up a mountain, which I do think is typically representative of a growing experience, or like a difficult thing that makes you better at the end of it, right? And as you're nearing the peak,
takes a journey with his friend up a mountain.
And then the world curves on itself and starts going all apocalypse. So, yeah, I think if this is a recurring dream, there's your subconscious is trying to tell you, hey, man, there's a symbol you're missing here that you can totally grow from, and you're close, right? Because if you're climbing up the mountain, it means you're close. So I would offer this advice. Pay special attention next time what's going on around that mountain, and especially around the tsunami. I would try and be perceptive to who you're with, other symbols, colors, numbers, that kind of thing might give you a clue as to what this is really all about in your deepest of subconscious thoughts.
I think that that's
because I can't really offer. I can't offer much more. It's very vague,
especially when it happens over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Like you keep having this dream and this occurrence. I do feel like there's got to be one more detail or two in there that can unlock what it means.
Hell, maybe it's the whole damn thing. Maybe you feel like you're kind of locked in a simulation every day. I don't know. Maybe it's like a dead end job, or like you're stuck in an unfruitful relationship or something, but maybe you're just kind of running the same simulation every day, and you trying to break out of it is that represented by the conversations, or you're trying to break it. Maybe you're doing this in real life. Maybe you need to quit sabotaging your game, because that's what leads to what did you say? Ragnarok?
Yeah. Or if you will, this is kind of something I've been experiencing in my yoga practice, if I can get like real hippy dippy on you here for a minute. But
yeah, dude,
maybe
yeah.
Instead of like trying to quit this simulation, you need to stand there and just breathe and see what happens, and just like let it happen, knowing that whatever it is going to be, and experiencing that discomfort, because so often we're so afraid of discomfort, we're afraid of failure, we're afraid of mostly just what we don't know. So you just got to let it happen. This summer.
No. To live life.
When the world goes topsy-turvy, what will you do?
Buy your clothes with Peter Piper tokens.
The Hounds.
Coming to a Sega Dreamcast near you. All right, do you want to do... I have one more. In this dream, this is a friend of mine who recounted it to me. They are at a water park. Here it's called Big Surf. That's the chain that we have here in Arizona.
Oh, you mean Waterloo?
Waterloo?
Isn't that the one from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, or is that Sunsplash?
I don't know.
One of the two of those was where they filmed Waterloo from Bill and Ted's.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I didn't think that.
Fun fact.
But that is a fun fact. But the this person is at the wave pool portion of this water park, and they're sort of sitting in the shallows, as people do when they don't want to get too rough in the deep surf. And they see, among all the swimmers and people playing, a giant sort of like serpent, like sea serpent, dragon thing, erupt out of the water. And everyone stops and stares at it. And it's sort of wrecking the pool area and just kind of causing havoc.
Gyarados.
The person who recounted this to me explained, and they had to do physical motions to describe it, but I'm going to try my best here. They stood up while they're watching this chaotic scene unfold in front of them, and they sort of stumbled back, like took one step back out of, I don't know, fear or apprehension or something, and the entire, all of their vision, everything within the scope of their vision,
mm-hmm.
zoomed out into a diorama that they were holding in their hands. And so they took one step back, and this giant sea serpent in the wave pool became a little model set where everything was still moving around and running, and even the people were looking up and pointing at this now giant person staring into, and like the snake just looked like a tiny little wormy thing zipping around.
That's interesting.
And yeah, it was a really interesting take. And then they woke up and they said that it's a recurring one where...
Well, it reminds me of like that dream that I had where everything turned into a video game and I saw it like top-down view.
Yeah.
Kind of like Earthbound all of a sudden.
But in this case, it's warping your dream reality. Like, that's a really good one. That's a really good power to have, if you can just zip anything scary into a little diorama. But
then he's just like standing outside, like in God mode. Like, I brought this in for class.
Yeah, basically.
It's like, this is my shoebox diorama. I call it Gyarados at Big Surf.
But yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. I say we each look at one symbol for that one, and then we try and wrap it up. What do you want?
I'm just gonna freestyle that. I mean, for okay. me, anytime, for me, like snakes in water, for me has always. I mean, I have had a pretty big dream. Maybe one day I'll talk about it. I'm not ready to talk about it here, right now, especially not with this much time. But snakes in water to me is like you. And your own oily snakes in your head that you kind of tell yourself and like your baggage you carry around. And so this is you or this person being like, oh, no, like here I go doing that bullshit I always do. I'm going to take a step back and like check myself because I'm.
Hey.
I'm like, I'm letting myself wreak havoc on my brain and my good time here in the wave pool. So. I'm going ahead. Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and check myself before I wreck the wave pool.
Here's my hot take. Dream Mood says to see a sea serpent in your dream represents an emotional transformation. And boom, you know, you've got all this terror and chaos happening in your life and take a big step back. And you can see that perhaps these roiling emotions that get you all caught up in the moment are much smaller than they appear.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening in. As usual, I am Scott.
And I am Connor. Hit us with those dreams. Dreamboatpodcast at gmail.com. Tell your friends. Tell your mom. Tell your friend's mom.
Tell your mom's friend. Yeah. Y'all keep dreaming. Keep the dream alive. Dream, dream, dream.
Dream a little dream for Scott, mostly. You can dream for me, too, but...
Don't dream for him. Dream for me. All right, take care, everybody. Tune in next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.